Let's pray. We praise you, Father God, for this great news. Thank you for your great mercy in which you've given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Thank you that through faith in him we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, that can never be taken away from us. It's kept in heaven for us. Thank you for this hope. And we pray that you would strengthen this hope in us as we meet today. And we ask this for Jesus' sake and in his name. Amen. 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 We've got one or two seats dotted around. We're pretty full today. So if you've got a seat next to you and you can shovel up and leave a seat free, then that would be really helpful as people come in. Great. Well, we're going to have an Easter quiz now. And there's going to be some pictures coming up. I want you to tell me who these pictures are. So it's does anyone remember the Mr. Men? Mr. Men started when I was a kid. I think they're still going, and I think they've added some little misses and things like that. But I'm going to show you some pictures. They are Mr. Men because that's who I remember in my time in the 70s. I think they started in 1976. I think I remember getting the first book. Okay, so you can tell me. See, the way to do it is just put your hand up if you think you know. And I got some goodies to give out here. Yeah, all right, okay. Is there anyone else? I'm just going to just spoil it for the adults a bit. I'm going to go for the children, okay? You know. All right, Isaiah, you had your hand up straight up there. Who do you think that is?
Mr. Happy.
Is it Mr. Happy? Yes. There you go. Does anyone know who this is? Don't shout out. Just put your hand up. Yeah, who do you think it is?
Mr. Magic.
Mr. Magic? It's not Mr. Magic. Oh, that's a good try. I think you're close. Let's come down to the back here, Lisa. Mr. Joyful. He's happy, is he? It's not Mr. Joyful. Anyone know? Yes. Mr. Bossy. It's not Mr. Bossy. Mr. Impossible. Mr. Impossible. Okay, next one. You had your hand up pretty quickly there, Winter. Mr. Screwball. Oh, Mr. Scribble. It's not Mr. Scribble, but I think you're close again. Mr. Messi. Catch. Well, this one. We might have to involve the adults. Anyone know? Do you want to have a go? Mr. Silly. There we go. Doing well. How's it about this one? Someone who's maybe not had a go. Yeah? Is it Mr. Chatterbox? Yes, it is. Yes, next one. Now, this one, this was the first book I got, but I can't remember what it was. Anyone down here? Anyone? There's a clue. I can't remember who it was. Can't remember. Who is it? Mr. Forgetful? There we go. Next one. Who's that? Who hasn't had a go, would like a go? Mr. Strong? It's not Mr. Strong, no. There's a good guess, though. Yeah. I don't know, I can't see. Is it Mr. Small? Is that... Oh, yes it is. There we go. Anyone? Adults? We're going to the adults now. Jonathan? Mr. Sneeze. Oh, sorry. That's bad, isn't it? Mr. Sneeze. What about this one? Tim? Mr. Topsy-Turvy. Yeah. There you go. And we should say thank you to Sandy for providing the chocolate. Sandy, you don't like Haribo, do you? So that's why you got the chocolates. So thank you for providing the chocolates. I was going to leave you a bag, but, you know, there you go. They've all gone. There you go. Never mind. Mr. Topsy-Turvy. Let me tell you about Mr. Topsy-Turvy. You can tell he's a bit of a strange fellow by looking at the picture, can't you? With Mr. Topsy-Turvy, everything's upside down, inside out, or back to front. So he's wearing his hat upside down. He's got his socks on his hands instead of his feet. You should see his house. His house is really extraordinary. The front door's upside down. The curtains hang upside down at the window. The roof is upside down, and the chimney's upside down on the roof. Topsy-Turvy, upside down, inside out, back to front. All very extraordinary. And you should see the way that Mr. Topsy-Turvy reads a book. Reads it upside down and starts at the back instead of the front. Back to front, upside down. And one day, Mr. Topsy-Turvy came to town. Let me tell you what happened. If you haven't read the book, then you won't have to read it, will you? Because I've told you. But he goes to town, causes chaos, goes to a big shop. And he leaves the shop by going down the up escalator. It causes terrible mayhem. People are falling down and they're very, very annoyed. It's a terrible jumble. He goes to the library. You know what he does in the library? He gets every single book in the library on the shelves and he turns it upside down. And then he goes to the art gallery. Guess what he does in the art gallery? Goes to all the different paintings and he turns them all upside down. Makes people very, very, very annoyed. And then, after just one day in town, disappears. Vanishes. Mr. Topsy-Turvy leaves. And he's seen no more, and everyone, whew, breathes a sigh of relief. Thank goodness for that. But they're in for a big surprise. Because you know what's happened? Although Mr. Topsy-Turvy has gone, everything is still Topsy-Turvy. Everything's upside down, everything's back to front, everything's inside out. And so the newspaper sellers, you don't get them anymore, but the newspaper sellers, you used to get them in the 70s, instead of saying, read all about it, they were saying, read it all about. And on the telly, the newsreaders, they announced, news is the here, instead of here is the news. And when people saw each other on the street in the morning, they said, morning good, instead of good morning. And when they saw each other later on, and it wasn't the morning, they said, do you how? Instead of, how do you do? Everything's back to front. Terrible. Everything is left topsy-turvy by Mr. Topsy-Turvy. That is not a good ending. That's how it ends. It's not a good ending. Now, that's just a story. That's just a story. And it's not a true story. But I want us to think about a true story this morning. I want us to hear the story of the real Mr. Topsy-Turvy. The real one. And it's a story that you're in and I'm in. We're all in it. And the question is, will it be a good ending? Will it be a good ending? All right, so you ready? True story. The Bible says that we live in a topsy-turvy world. A world that is upside down, back to front, inside out. It's not the way that it's meant to be. It's all messed up. And I think we know that in our experience. Here are some pictures just to help us remember that. So it looks like two sisters having a good old fight there, doesn't it? So there's quarrelling, there's falling out. Anyone probably maybe even done that already this morning. But people fall out. People don't get on. And it's really sad. Spoils life in the world. And then there's falling out on the bigger scale. That's a war. Bombs have fallen. People have been killed. That happens because people decide to invade countries that are not theirs. They want to take over countries that don't belong to them. And it causes so much pain and sadness. And then there's lying and cheating. Cheating. Some of you remember that. Diego Maradona handballing the football Not handball, handballing it into the goal. And the goal stood. And I'd like to say, I've got over it. But I haven't. That was in 1986, when I was 16 years old. And I still remember it every single day. It's good. No, I don't. But at this time, you know, every World Cup I remember it, because we were, it's horrible cheating, isn't it? That's just a game. And that was horrible. But when people cheat in other ways, when people cheat on their husband or wives, or when they cheat in financial things and cheat people out of money, it's a horrible, horrible thing, cheating and lying. It hurts people. And then there's selfishness, there's people not sharing things. I've got so much and not sharing things, keeping things to ourselves. And that leads to lots of other sadness, like hunger and poverty elsewhere. So much in this world to go around to everyone. But not everyone gets the chance to have food on the table. And it's sad. And then there's natural disasters as well, isn't there? Things go wrong with nature. Storms, and that's the aftermath of a tsunami. And so an earthquake that then created a massive wave that brought so much devastation. All those people in Southeast Asia all those years ago. A terrible devastation, a terrible sadness, lots of loss of life. And poverty and hunger and sad lives as a result. And then there's things like this, there's sickness. Maybe you've experienced some of that recently. Maybe you're ill and poorly at the moment. And finally, as if we needed reminding, there's this, there's death. That's a funeral, there's family members, the funeral of someone that they love and they miss. And that's where we're all heading to one day. And it's sad. And I don't know if you've ever stood at the grave of a loved one and thought, this isn't right. This is wrong. This isn't right. This is all topsy-turvy. That's a right feeling to have, because it's not right. It is wrong. It's not meant to be this way. And as a result of all these things, there are tears, isn't there? Lots of tears in the world, in our lives. This is all wrong, you see. And it's not the way that God made it to be. He made it good. And it was good. We read about this at the beginning of the Bible. We've been doing this as a church family in recent weeks. Oh, it's so good. Very, very good when God made the world. People live together with God in harmony. Perfect harmony. People live together with each other in harmony. And you know what? There was no dying, and there was no crying, and there was no pain, and it was good. But that's not the way it is now. Everything is topsy-turvy. And the Bible tells us that things are this way because people, us, are not the way that we should be. We're topsy-turvy. Because God made us to trust Him, and to love Him and obey Him, and to live with Him forever. And that's the way that life's meant to be. That's the right side up life. That's the happy life. That's the good life. Us loving God and us loving other people. God-centered, other person-centered life. That's the right side up life. But the first people that God made, who can tell me their names? First people. Anyone know? Yeah. I got some more goodies. Adam and Eve. There you go. I don't know what that is, but there you go. I'm sure it's edible. Adam and Eve, first people that God made, and they did something really, really sad. They did a topsy-turvy thing. They sinned. They said, we don't want God. God made them. Life with Him was so good, but they turned away from God. They didn't want to do things God's way. They wanted to do things their way instead. They wanted to be in charge. They didn't want God to be king. They wanted to take His place and be king instead. And so they said no. No to God's rule. We're going to rule ourselves. And as a result of what they did, our world has become topsy-turvy. And our lives have become topsy-turvy. So meet the real Mr. Topsy-Turvy. Adam, meet the real Miss Topsy-Turvy, Eve. meet the real topsy-turvy people, me and you and all of us. You see, we're the same as them. We are. See, instead of loving God, we ignore him. Instead of worshipping him, we worship other things. We worship ourselves. Instead of obeying his good and loving commands, and they are good and they are loving, instead of doing that, we make up our own rules and reject his. And so our lives are topsy-turvy. They're inside out. They're messed up. So we lie. We do. Anyone never lied here? Ever? I asked that question once and someone did put their hand up. And I said, liar. Because the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. No, we do lie. And we cheat. It's not just Maradona who cheats. We cheat. Cheat in games. Cheat in life. Just to try and get ahead of other people. And we hurt other people. We do. We might not do it with our fists or with weapons, but we do it with our words, don't we? And we tell tales about people. We gossip about people. We kind of kill their character by the words that we use. Here's another thing. We're so topsy-turvy. You know, we get, when something good happens to someone else and they're celebrating, we get jealous of that, don't we? And we don't like it. Something within us doesn't like that when other people are happy. What's wrong with us? Well, then, you know, when bad things happen to other people, and secretly within us, we're quite happy that bad things happen to them. What's wrong with us? And then we do good things, don't we? We do good things. But we do good things to other people to make ourselves look good. No one knows that. It's only inside us that we know that. But God sees that. When we do good things just so that other people think, ooh, they're a really nice person. Rather than just doing it because we want to be kind to someone. God sees that. And that makes him sad. We're topsy-turvy. Okay, a word's going to come up on the screen. And I want you to tell me what that word is. Is it in a foreign language? Does anyone know the language? Think about Mr. Topsy-Turvy. Everything's upside down, inside out, back to front. Can anyone tell me what that word is? Jack, let's have a look. Righteous. There you go. Sorry, Vera, it's not for you, it's for Jack. And he shared it. Oh, very kind. Very kind. Did you do that because you're kind or because you wanted to look good, you know? Don't worry. Righteous. Righteous. What does that mean? Righteous, this is what it means. It means to be right with God. To be right side up. To be on the right side of God. In relationship with him. Here's what the Bible says. There is no one righteous, not even one. All have turned away. That's about the whole human race. No one righteous. We're not righteous. And by nature, we're unrighteous. We're on the wrong side of God. So we're not his friends. We're his enemies. God cannot love sin, topsy-turviness, because he's too good. He's so good. And sin makes us God's enemies. And that's the worst thing of all about all this, isn't it? It makes us his enemies. Adam and Eve, they were banished away from God's presence. His wonderful presence, they were banished away. And because we've sinned, we can't be in God's presence as we are. We can't. Oh dear, is that it? Is that it then? Well, at the end of the story, Mr. Topsy-Turvy, that was it. Things were not put right again. That's sad, isn't it? Things were not put right again. Everything remained topsy-turvy. We'd call that a hopeless end. Is that how the real story of the world ends? Is that how the story of our lives ends? Do you want to hear some good news this morning? It's really good. It's the best news ever. In the true story, God has not left us topsy-turvy. And he's not going to leave the world topsy-turvy. In his great love, he's provided a solution to our topsy-turvy sin problem. He has. In his great love, he's done this. We love people in our family. We love people who like us. But here's this, the truth about God. God loves people who turn their backs on him. God loves people who don't want him. God loves people who don't like him. And because God's love is like that, he sent a special person, a very special person, to save us. Mr. Right Side Up. And he came to save us. Do you know who that is, Mr. Right Side Up? There's only one person who's ever lived a life right side up. Jesus! It's Jesus. Yes. Well done. Oh, well done. Good catch as well. It's Jesus. And we're going to think a bit more about Jesus in a few moments' time. He is our hope. Let's pray. Father God, as we look on the world, as we look on our lives, it makes us really sad to see how your wonderful world has been spoiled by our sin. And we're really sorry for our part in the suffering in the world. Please forgive us. And we want to thank you this morning that there is hope for the world. And there is hope for us. And we ask that you'd help us to see that hope as we look at your word together now. Help us to see Jesus, our hope, and help us to trust him. Amen. Well, before we look at the Bible, we're going to sing a couple of songs. And
the reading is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. So in the red Bibles, you'll find that on page 1000, or you can follow the reading on the screens as well. So that's Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 1. After the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Thanks, Sarah. Brilliant. Well, amazing. Something happened that first Easter that changed the world forever. Three words that's changed the world forever. He has risen. And the message of the angels to those women is, don't be afraid. And are you looking for Jesus? He was crucified. He was. He was dead. But he's not dead anymore. He has risen. Just as he told you. Told you he was going to rise. And he has. That's how you show the world that you really are who you claim to be. By saying you're going to be killed, and then 3 days later rise again, and for that to happen. And that has happened. And they see him, don't they, these women? And they fall down before him, and they clasp his feet. He's real. Real flesh and blood. This is not fancy. This is real. He's really alive. And they worship him. Here is Mr. Right Side Up. Here is Jesus. Jesus fought death, and Jesus won. And his resurrection shows us who he is and what he came to do. He really is Mr. Right Side Up. And he came to put this topsy-turvy world and our topsy-turvy lives right side up. And that's what we see him doing in his life. If you're familiar with the stories in the Bible about him, that's what Jesus does. He puts the broken world back together, doesn't he? He heals people, makes the lame walk, makes the blind see, makes the deaf hear, delivers people from evil spirits. He stops natural disasters like storms just by speaking. And he feeds thousands and thousands of hungry people out of nothing. And best of all, He brings dead people back to life. Puts everything right way back up again, as it's meant to be. And the astonishing thing about Jesus is he never sinned. He was never topsy-turvy in any way whatsoever. He always did things the right way, God's way. He always obeyed his Father, God, perfectly. Always trusted him, always obeyed him, always loved him, just as people were meant to. And he loved God perfectly. And he loved other people perfectly. All that power that he had, and he always used it for other people. And he lived that perfect life for us. There was nothing topsy-turvy about him. And then what happens? Well, we've been singing about it. He died. Even though he'd never done anything wrong, and he didn't deserve to die, he was arrested, and he was falsely accused, and tried, and sentenced to death, and he was nailed on a cross, and he was left to die. And that's very, very sad. But the Bible tells us that was God's plan. That even though evil men were fighting against God, God is so powerful that he was using their evil against him to bring about his great good for the world. And this is what Jesus came into the world for. He came to save his people from their sin by dying for us. Only someone who doesn't deserve to be punished can be punished for someone else. And that's what Jesus, the innocent one, did for us. As he died on the cross, all our topsy-turviness, all our sins, all our badness was put onto him, and he was punished for it. And he wanted to do that for us. He wasn't forced to do it. He wanted to do that for us. That's how much he loves us. And on the cross, he did a swap with us. He took our sin and the separation from God that it deserves, and in exchange, he gives us his righteousness, the Bible tells us. His right side upness. His being on the right side of God. He gave that to us so that we can have what we need to be right side up with God. Here's a verse from the Bible that tells us what Jesus did on the cross. It's amazing, isn't it? Christ died once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. That's a wonderful swap, isn't it? A loving swap. And as we've just sung, his death isn't the end of the story. Stronger than death. He was raised to life. And Jesus' resurrection is the proof that the topsy-turvy problem of our lives and the topsy-turvy problem of our world has been dealt with. It has. Our sin cut us off from God, but Jesus removed the problem. We can now know God, and we can be with him forever, and we can live for him and not for ourselves. Our sin leads to eternal death, but Jesus brings life through his death and resurrection. He brings us the best life, eternal life. And because of Jesus' resurrection, our topsy-turvy world is changed forever. That first Easter morning, the life of God's perfect new world burst into this world. And there's no going back now. There's no going back. Jesus is the first of many more who will follow him, all his people. Jesus' resurrection is proof that one day he's going to come back and he's going to destroy all the badness and all the sadness and all the topsy-turviness, and he's going to put it all right side up again. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. That's what the Bible calls it, the home of right side upness, a place where everything and everyone is right side up. And that's where the world is heading. And this is what the Bible describes it like. Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4. Listen to this. Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. Yes! That's good, isn't it? They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Yes! That's good. That's so good. Listen to this. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Yes. Yes. There'll be no more death. Yes. There'll be no more mourning or crying or pain. Yes. For the old order of things has passed away. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. No more topsy-turviness ever. Happy ending. Happy, happy, happy ending. And you know what? We can be part of that if we trust Jesus. It's only if we trust Jesus, though, because only Jesus has done that for us. Only Jesus can save us. He's the only Saviour. He's the only one who can put us right and bring us to that right place. And so, if you haven't yet put your trust in Jesus, you haven't entrusted your life into His hands, will you do that today? That's what He wants you to do. He wants to save you. To turn from your topsy-turvy ways and come to Jesus and ask Him to forgive you and to turn you right side up and to bring you into His perfect right side up world. If you ask Him to do that, He'll do it. He will. And if you're here, and many of us will be, who have put our trust in Jesus, then the message of the empty tomb, the message from the empty tomb, did you get it? Twice we're told, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's what the angel said to the woman, don't be afraid. It's what Jesus said to the women, don't be afraid. And it's what He says to us, His people today, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of being forsaken, separated from God. Your sin has been paid for. You are forgiven. You're on the right side of God now. You are. You really are. Don't be afraid of evil in the world. Jesus defeated it on the cross. He really did. And don't be afraid of death. Jesus has killed it. Jesus has smashed it. And although it comes to us, it can't hold on to us anymore. Because Jesus has seen to that. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. It's a happy ending. Not a hopeless end. Endless hope. Not a hopeless end. Endless hope. That's how the story ends for Jesus' people. Isn't that good? And so in response, we do worship Him. We trust Him. We obey Him. We love Him. That's life right side up. And because of Jesus, we can live that life. And that life starts today. Let's live it. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we want to thank You so much today for loving us. Loving us when we didn't love You. And sending Your Son to save us. And we thank You that Jesus loves us so much that He died for us. The unrighteous ones. He, the righteous one, died for unrighteous people like us. To bring us to You. And thank You that You raised Him back to life. And He defeated death. And He defeated sin. And we thank You that now we can be forgiven all our sin and be right with You. And we can have a place with You in that perfect new world that's coming. Where there's no suffering or sadness. Thank You that You offer all this to us as a gift, absolutely free. But it cost You everything. Help us to take it. Help us to turn from our sin and trust in Jesus. And help us to live the happy, right side up life. Trusting, obeying, and loving You. We just want to take a moment, Father, as well, to pray for people who find themselves in war-torn places today. We're so grateful that we're in a place of calm and peace. But we pray for people in Ukraine. We pray for people in Iran. We pray for people in other conflict zones around the world. And we ask that the real danger that people face in these places and the helplessness that they feel would cause many people to turn to You. It would cause them to be more alert to the truth of Easter and willing to hear the good news of great joy of a Lord who lived, who died, and who rose again for us. And the good news of a sin-free, sorrow-free world that He's made possible for all who believe in Him. We pray, Father God, that You turn the evil that men do into Your good and use these terrible times to turn hearts to You so that hearts and lives are filled with hope, the hope that we know too. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing of that.